Hi, everybody. My name's Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I'm a sports psychologist here in Kansas City. I'm the host of the Sports Psychology Hour radio show. Been on the radio for 32 years here. Our shows are podcasted everywhere. And welcome to our live stream event. Over the past few years, in addition to my show, we've launched the Sports Psychology Hour as a podcast, as I said, now via live stream. I'd like you to listen to the shows on winnersunlimited.com, where you can click on the podcast tab and listen to episodes of the show. We've got close to 10 years of podcasts on there. And we're now doing a new series of conversations focusing on coaching and athletes and sports performance. And today's a little bit different because I'm going to be talking with TrueView Performance CEO, Drew Stoll. We're going to talk about performance in sports. So Drew, thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Andy. Really appreciate the time and having us out.
So tell us a little bit about your company, what it's about, how you got into this, and where you're coming from with it.
Sure. My name is Drew Stoll, CEO of TrueView Performance. The company TrueView Performance was created a couple years ago and has evolved significantly in those few years. My business partner and I, both former college athletes, but we're also very analytical, very curious individuals. And so he and I played golf frequently. And as golfers, you know, it's always, you know, getting out a launch monitor. How do I, you know, optimize my swing and things like that? And so we became enthralled with looking at some of the best technologies out there to improve athletic performance and specifically for golf. But that quickly evolved into other sports and just general amateur athletics. And so we started analyzing biomechanics for various athletes, amateur athletes, youth athletes, using 3D markerless motion capture systems, analyzing mobility and stability, alignment of joints, overall ranges of motion, and things like that. And that turned into, let's analyze power and explosiveness. And then let's analyze strength. And let's analyze speed. And we did a really good job of, you know, learning from really smart people. We would never claim to be experts in this. Rather, you know, we are kind of riding the coattails of the really smart people out there, such as yourself, that are kind of paving the way for an understanding of how to improve overall athletic performance. And as we were going through this process and we were working with various athletes, it came very clear to us that there was a dramatic distinction between inputs and outputs. In the traditional paradigm of strength training and performance training, is everything has really been focused primarily on outputs. Bigger, stronger, faster, right? How hard can I hit a puck? How far can I throw a ball? But that's the output. We don't know when to shoot the puck or where to throw the ball. And all of those things go into the cognitive aspect of athletic performance and how we look at this. And so it started off going and getting some of the very best equipment out there to run assessments and analyze athletes. But we had a number of parents and athletes come to us and say, well, this is great. Now we know the deficiencies and the gaps to fill and things like that. However, how do I train it? How do I get better at it? And so we evolved from just an assessment company into an assessment and training facility and are getting some really, really great traction here in the Chicagoland area. So I know that's a lot right out of the gate, but that's kind of a broad overview of who we are and kind of what we're doing.
So when somebody comes in that you're going to work with, give us an idea how you work with them, what you do, what's the process?
Sure. So when somebody comes in, we first want to have them acclimated to the space. Our facility does not look like a typical gym. It has a high degree of, newer technology systems such as Proteus, systems such as Speed, SPEEDE, 1080 motion, 1080 sprint, and things like that. So you don't really see racks of dumbbells or anything like that. We want people to become acclimated with understanding how to analytically understand motion and athleticism and performance. So we go through a simple training exercise with them, how to move more efficiently, how we analyze overall strength and doing motion capture and things like that. So once we feel like they're comfortable with our state using the equipment, then we sit down and we do an assessment with them. It's 90 minutes long, and we start out with that motion capture. We do a power analysis on Proteus. We use Vald to do a number of isometric strength tests and things like that. But then we always end with using Synaptech. Synaptech, I don't know if you've know about Synaptech, but it is a leader in the forefront of analyzing and training cognitive skills. You know, things such as go, no go, reaction times, depth perception and things like that. And when we started coming upon cognition and cognition training, that became the absolute pillar for us and training the inputs far beyond the outputs. So we first train inputs and then we train outputs.
Well, explain what you mean by inputs and outputs. I know what you're talking about there, but.
Sure. Yeah. So the inputs are simply, you know, things that go into it really kind of encompass the wide range of mental capabilities for an athlete, right? It's going to include attention, perception, memory, problem solving, decision making things. But those are all things that, you know, can be carried across a number of different modalities. However, those are all things that go into sports as well. Being able to have higher degrees of, you know, body awareness, proprioception, right? How an athlete moves in space and time, how they can decide, as I mentioned before, when to shoot a puck or where to throw a ball. Say nothing of, you know, actually performing that. And so when I talk about cognitive skills, I'm talking about those different types of things where you have an input, you see something, you perceive something, and then it translates to your muscles that you've been trained for speed and strength and power. And then that translates. Your muscle, your body cannot do anything in sport without that input. Your eyes visually seeing something, your brain interpreting that, and your nervous system translating that to your muscles. And that's a key aspect of what we do at TrueView.
One of my main philosophies I always talk about is you can have two athletes who are physically the same, but the one with the stronger mind will come out on top. So based on what you're talking about there, how do you develop a stronger mind? What would you say mentally you're doing to help these athletes from a cognitive, emotional, psychological perspective be stronger?
Yeah, so the more psychological things, the actual dealing with loss and failure, you know, I'll leave that to really smart people like yourself. For us, how we deal with that is we want to put our athletes under stress and replicate stress in sport as much as we possibly can. So what we try to do is when somebody's training with us, we want to try to replicate that fourth quarter of a game every single time they're here. So we're working out and we're working hard and we're training those key aspects, speed, strength, power. However, every time you're done with a set or a superset of something, you are going over to another station in our facility that has an iPad there where you're doing various Synaptech brain games, right? Where you're doing reaction times, you're doing go, no, go, you know, you're trying to perceive certain things. And we have a number of other modalities such as blaze pods and reflection and things like that. So what I mean by all that is when an athlete is training with us, we want them under load at a minimum of 90% of the time they're here. So when they are physically gassed, we want them to be straining mentally, right? And so that's what we're trying to achieve. And you'd be amazed, you know, when a number of our youth athletes and amateur athletes come in, you know, they'll see, you know, some other athletes that are getting a certain score on a particular game or whatever, and they get really down about it. And, you know, it's trying to motivate them and say like, hey, listen, like just because you got a low score right now shows that you need to be doing this more often because this translates to the game. And guess what? That girl over there or that guy over there has been doing this for months. and he was just like you, right? So now that person's able to react in sport, and you're able to boost their confidence from a psychological standpoint while also improving that cognitive reaction.
You just hit, I was just going to jump in about confidence, and I'm glad that was a perfect lead in. So confidence to me is the ability to believe in yourself, your skills, your ability, what you're capable of doing. And what I found in my 42 years of work, I've worked at every level from the Olympic team to professional teams, college teams, all the way down. I've been doing this about as long as anybody in sports psychology in this country. What I found is that the top athletes psychologically have the ability to focus under pressure and not stress out about it. They use pressure as a motivator and they thrive on it. So how would you correlate that with what you're doing?
So handling the pressure and stress in sport and things like that, we can never perfectly replicate that. However, we create a competitive environment where people are competitive, you know, being competitive physically, right? You go into any gym and you're with your teammates there and you're seeing who can push the greatest amount of weight, or for how we look at it, right? You know, isokinetically or isometrically, how much Newton force you're pushing, right? Because we look at it a little bit more scientifically than just, you know, pushing weight on a barbell. However, there's that competitive aspect. But as soon as they're done, let's say doing a chest press, they're competing on a game to see what their reaction speeds are on like a large reflection edge board or something like that. And so that competitiveness carries over, not just from the physical, but from the mental side as well. And so it's that kind of competitiveness where it's not just the bigger, stronger, faster. It's, you know, how perceptive you are and things like that, that, you know, really is that kind of separator.
So let me ask you, because as I'm listening to you, what's going through my head is, there's you do a lot of comparisons with kids or athletes with this person compared to that. One of the things that I try to focus on when I work with people is to not get caught up in that in the aspect of comparing everybody else, but working on self-improvement. So to me, one of the things that I found is when I have a, like, for example, swimmers, let's take a swimmer. Okay. When a swimmer gets to a competition, they've got the heat sheets listed on the wall. And the heat sheets, let's say they're doing the 100 freestyle swim. There'll be 8 heats of 100 freestylers in your age group, 14 and under, and they've got the best time written next to everybody's name. Well, that best time may have come from a year ago. Uh-huh. So sometimes kids freak out. Oh my gosh, he's a half second fat, or you know, a second faster than me. I can't do that. So what I try to get people to do is focus on self-improvement with themselves, not compare as much. There's an awareness of everything else, but it's like, If you keep focusing on dropping time, you're getting better. And that's where their confidence comes up. What I find is when they start comparing to other people, there's always going to be somebody better than you. And so, or something better than you. And that's where I find a lot of people lose their confidence and motivation because they get too caught up in that. So what's your feeling about that?
So first off, I couldn't agree more with you. You know, I think that we live in a day and age where, you know, like social media and so many things like that, you know, it's, you know, is the grass always greener on the other side, or keeping up with the Joneses, all of those different types of things. And so I completely agree. We don't get into a full-blown breakdown of everybody on the team where everybody can see everybody's assessment numbers and things like that. That is not something we do. We just try to kind of replicate the in-game competition, right? In a game, like you can look at the scoreboard and you can see who's winning. And that's really all that it comes down to for us. Now, our assessment captures just over 1 million different data points. Now, do we use all of those data points and, you know, portray those to the athlete or their parent? No, we do not. But we do have, you know, algorithms and things like that, that can calculate in what we show as various kind of performance numbers for each one of those different pillars and modalities. And then we track that over time with the athlete, and they're only able to see theirs. So frankly, you know, we've had, you know, some kids come in where, you know, they might rank, let's say, in the 7th percentile for a isometric mid-thigh pull, which is, you know, a significant standard for whole body strength in this day and age. And we just say, this is great, right? Because guess what? you're not a pro athlete right now. And even a pro athlete isn't going to get there. But now we have a baseline. Let's track it for you over time. And so we have sessions where it's only us working with an athlete. No one else is around. It's a separate section of our facility where we're taking that 90 minutes for that assessment. And after that, once we've analyzed everything, we bring them into our office. We sit down with them for a half hour, an hour, and we talk about, this is what we're seeing with you. This is how we need to perhaps pivot on your workouts because you've made, you know, increases here or there, et cetera. So it is very much centrally focused on the details and breaking everything down on a one-to-one basis. When I'm talking about in facility and training is, you know, just similar to, hey, let's look at the scoreboard. Let's see what's going on and having that. If they want to talk about, you know, their scores, I guess that's fine, but that is not an MO of ours. And I could not agree more with you on that.
I have one of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl jerseys framed in my office. And on that jersey, he has the letters FOE, stands for focus on effort. And I always emphasize foe versus for. Focus on effort versus focus on results. Because I find when you're focusing on results, you're looking at numbers and scores and all that type of stuff. And when you're focused on your effort, you can't measure effort. But in essence, what I found over the years is that when the athlete is concentrating more on themselves and how they feel about themselves, what they're doing, their motivation, their confidence, rather than the numbers, that gives them a better chance to succeed. And basically what I always work on, and I mean, I like to use an example. There was a swimmer I worked with years ago at the University of Kansas. She qualified for the 100 and 200 yard freestyle at the NCAAs, her freshman, sophomore, and junior year. She didn't make it. She didn't qualify for the consolation finals. So her senior year, we worked on her confidence, her focus, her mindset. She broke 4 American records in 3 days at the NCAAs and was named swimmer of the meet. Because our entire program that year was every when she swam a time, her goal the next week was to try and beat that time rather than worrying about beating who's around her. And each week her times got faster. And that was the whole game plan. She bought into it after about 3 weeks. Well, this is working. I'm improving. So, right. It doesn't matter who you're. And she was winning almost every week. But that was not what was important to me. What was important to me was that she's getting better. And I think you're doing the same thing from a more physiological perspective as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love everything you said there, and I couldn't agree more with you.
So how would you measure success then with the people come in to work with you?
So I would say that measuring success for us typically is very objective for all the reasons that I mentioned before, right? I mean, we analyze so many different, you know, variables and things like that across a number of different pillars of athleticism and cognition. However, you know, when we talk to athletes and when we're here, we come back and do a follow-up assessment. You know, we always relate it back to their sport and what they're playing, right? It really is the game easier for you? Is the game slowing down? Like we want to know when you first come in too, obviously what sport you play, what position, any kind of secondary support sport or position, but what are your main goals, right? I want to reduce injuries. I want to run faster, jump higher, whatever it may be. And so those more subjective things, that's where we really try to lean into so that we can then go back to the objective things and say, the reason why you feel that way are these numbers, but how, what you do is determined on a lot of like how you feel and what you think and things like that. Kind of going back to the inputs versus the outputs. And so we 100% want to have that relationship, understand, is the game slowing down? Are you having more fun? You feel like you are personally winning and getting better and whatnot. So it is very much it's kind of like a consultant to a certain degree, but it's more relational than anything. Yeah.
Let me ask this question before we wrap things up here tonight. Where do you see the role of mental health in terms of what you're doing? How does that play in the True View?
So, you know, I think about my kids, I think about kids that I've coached in the past and things like that. I would say that mental health is honestly probably more important than anything that I've talked about to this point. The reason I say that is that, you know, I think about my kids and whatnot. The world is just different from when I was an athlete. And, you know, there's a quote on your website that I'm going to butcher, but it goes something along the lines of winning isn't everything. It's how you deal with loss and failure and what comes of that. And that's a real challenge because you hit on it earlier. You know, it's the comparison game. It's I'm not doing good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm batting ninth in the order or, you know, whatever it might be. And there's just a tremendous amount of self-criticism and self-doubt and things like that. And, you know, we can work on the, you know, athletic performance things and the cognition things, but that mental health piece, all of those are things that we're working on could be rendered moot if the kid isn't in the right headspace to want to work out, to want to improve, that, you know, they might be intimidated or whatever it might be. They're scared or whatever it is, or they're just down and depressed and things like that. You know, if they come into our facility and they're not, it's not like they're there. It's like, hey, what's going on? You know, it's just like in a game, right? If you're not feeling it, you know, like take some time, but agreed. Like mental health is, I think, more important than anything that we're doing.
Well, you know, in the end, like I said earlier, you can have two athletes who are physically the same and want the stronger mind to come out on top. And a stronger mind to me doesn't mean you're more competitive. It means you're more balanced with yourself. You understand who you are. You have a grasp on your strengths and weaknesses. You have a grasp on your goals. And your focus is on self-improvement. The professional athletes I work with, I work with a lot of them. I encourage them to get off social media during their season. Don't get on it. Don't post on it. Don't read it. Because, you know, if you do well, everybody thinks you're the greatest thing in the world. And if you do poorly, they think you're this awful person. And I was telling them, those people don't know you. They just know who you are from your performance. They don't know you as a person. Athletes are people. And in the end, the bottom line is the mental health aspect, the psychological aspect, the emotional aspect, which you're involving what you're doing plays a key role in all this, because I don't care how much weight how much you can bench press or how fast you can run. If your mind's not there, it's not going to work the right way. So I think you're working on all this stuff. And it sounds like that. I really enjoyed listening to what you had to say tonight. This makes a lot of sense.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, it's, you know, obviously, you know, your reputation precedes yourself, and, you know, obviously everybody that you've worked with and what you've done, I was blessed and excited to come on the show and happy that you'd have us. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, this has been a really fun interview. Now, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they reach you? How can they get a hold of you and contact with you?
TrueViewPerformance.com.
Okay. Email address there?
Just info@TrueViewPerformance.com.
Okay.
They can send us a little bit more information. You can find us on all of the socials as well at TrueView Performance. And so, yeah, we're continuing to post more things. We've been kind of closed doors for a while, and now we're opening it up to more and more people. And so we're just kind of trying to grow at a rate that is, manageable for us, because we just had so much interest. And so I think, to your point, the amount of interest and, you know, what resonates with people now is that mental, that cognitive side of the game, the inputs versus the outputs. There's just been so much more attention and focus on that, where there's not really many people out there that are doing kind of what we do. And it just resonates with people. So yeah, more stuff will be coming out from us.
Well, listen, Drew, it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. I really appreciate it. And hopefully a lot of people get in touch with you. You know, and I want to let everybody know, if you've enjoyed this conversation, you know, go to my website, winnersunlimited.com, click on the podcast tab. You can hear this show and many, many others, like close to 10 years of podcasts are on there. That's winnersunlimited.com. Everybody, thanks for listening. Take care.